You're listening to There's a Better Way, smart talk on healthcare and technology. If you're up for energizing and story-driven conversations with national healthcare leaders driving industry innovation across the country, then you are in the right place. Today, we're talking about the role of the pharmacy in the expanding care team. And we're digging into the important ability for all healthcare providers to connect and exchange data to support great patient care. So we're really talking about interoperability and, to be specific, pharmacy interoperability. What does the future hold for pharmacy? How will pharmacy look once we've brought interoperability to life through technology and standards-based innovation? Our guest today, my friend and colleague, Pooja Babra, is well-versed on this subject. She was, of course, supposed to be a doctor when she grew up. That's what her parents wanted her to be. That's also what Pooja and her childhood friend planned to do. As it turned out, Pooja's friend did become a doctor. But Pooja took a different path, and those of us in the technology world, like me, are very glad that she did. I'll introduce Pooja in a minute, but first, let me remind our audience what we're doing on this season of the podcast. We're looking at how we're helping healthcare heal itself. We're using this lens to focus our conversations as we talk with guests from across the nation and across government, including the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT, or ONC for short. That's where Pooja herself served on a committee, where she helped recommend the standards that are needed to support data sharing between pharmacists and other care providers. And as you'll hear today, that's just one part of a long and successful career focused on the patient and caregiver experience. So for our listeners, welcome to the show, and thank you for being here. Pooja, I am so happy to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me on this podcast, Melanie. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
You've worked at the intersection of healthcare technology, policy, and standards for many years now, including McKesson, where I was too. And now you're working, you've got two important portfolios and projects that you're focusing on with pharmacy interoperability and technology and standards needed to make all of that a reality. Before we go to that, I'd love to just get a little background on you.
I grew up in the state of Washington, in the capital, actually, which is Olympia. Went to University of Washington to do my undergrad and then ended up doing my master's, did an MBA at Arizona State, which is how I ended up in Phoenix.
So at what point did you become interested in healthcare?
Like any good Indian kid, my plan was to be a doctor. When I graduated from University of Washington, I decided I needed to get out of Seattle. So moved to Washington, D.C., actually. Worked for the National Academy of Sciences as a database manager. And after about 2 years, realized that it's great work, but sitting in front of a computer all day and not interacting with people was just really kind of killing my soul, to be honest with you. I actually took the opportunity to go back and do my grad school, ASU. I wasn't planning on coming down to Arizona, growing up in Washington. And literally the day after I landed, I ended up meeting my now husband, and so have been in Arizona for, gosh, going on 30 years now. I ended up going to a couple of startups, more on just kind of general healthcare technology side. A lot of the startups I went to were actually associated with larger companies. So, you know, a lot of these companies would have a chief medical officer that would have a great idea. So the company would be, you know, kind of give them some seed money to do a startup. So kind of did a couple stints there. I think I went to 3 different startups that were associated with larger companies. You know, story behind that is, unfortunately, when there's a downturn, the first thing to go were these kind of pet projects. So after going through about 3 layoffs in these startups, I ended up really kind of honing in on, you know, more in the pharmacy side. So ended up at Dr. First, which is, you know, an e-prescribing company. I was hired in as a product manager there. ended up launching the EPCS, so the electronic prescribing for controlled substances. We used to literally have to get on the phone and call pharmacies to say, yes, you are okay. You can actually dispense this controlled substance prescription. But it was actually when I launched that product that I really recognized that, you know, pharmacy plays such a big role in patient outcomes. And the story behind that is someone that I used to work with at another company had a child who was on a controlled substance medication. And I, after launching EPCS into the market, I actually met with him for lunch and I was just describing what we had just done. You know, we launched EPCS and he looked at me and he said, Pooja, you don't understand what a difference that makes for my family. And the story that he shared was, you know, they were very careful about making sure that their child's medications were filled, right, for the weekend or for a vacation. And once in a while, they would run into a problem that come Friday night, you know, they didn't have enough of the medication to get their child through the weekend. And he said, now, as opposed to, you know, running into issues, we don't have the meds, we have to start over again. You know, I can call my doctor and they can actually send this prescription electronically to the pharmacy. And he's like, this is going to make such a huge difference in our lives. And it was at that point that I just really recognized that pharmacy and pharmacists and everything we're doing around technology really makes such a difference in patient outcomes. And that's really kind of what started me on this path. So, you know, worked at Dr. First for the next couple of years and then got into the consulting side, which is really where I've been doing a lot of the kind of industry, you know, work and things that I'm doing now.
I understand your family has a foundation that's focused on supporting first-generation college students. And I think you're the CEO now of that foundation, so, right?
I do healthcare technology. My husband does education technology. And we both realize we've been really blessed of where we are in our career and what we've been able to do in the industry. We both are, you know, come from families from India. Both of our dads, so my dad actually came over to the U.S. in the 50s. He was one of the very first international students at University of Washington. So if you go to University of Washington, there's actually, you know, in a museum is his story of how he came to the U.S. And then my husband's father left India, went to Kuwait, and then sent, you know, his kids to the U.S. to study. So we both have this kind of unique background of really our dads, you know, back in the 50s, forging this path forward to help us get where we're at. So we sat down one day and we said, you know, we've made a difference in our industries, but what are we going to do to kind of leave a family legacy? And we have two daughters, you know, who we want to make sure that, you know, are also well positioned. But it was really that recognition that without our dads making that leap and coming over here, we would never be in the positions where we are today. And so we decided to start a family foundation. We are focused on giving scholarships to first generation students, primarily here in Arizona. And the idea is not to just give the scholarship money, but to really mentor those students as well and to build that relationship, which is why we're really focused on students in Arizona. We feel like with our network and, you know, our ability to hopefully mentor these kids, you know, will make a difference in their lives as well. So it's really kind of in the name of our both of our fathers and, you know, hopefully be able to make a difference.
What amazing story. I want to just talk about what I think is the trifecta of your current career, where you are the practice lead for pharmacy and PBM services at Point of Care Partners. That's the consulting that you were talking about. You were a member of the High-Tech Pharmacy Interoperability and Emerging Therapeutics Task Force at the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT, or ONC. That's the second part of the trifecta. And then third, you're a board member and were the recent former chair of the National Council for Prescription Drug Programs, or NCPDP. So what is the connection there of those three career milestones?
So we do a lot of work with, you know, what new standards are coming to the market, or now that data is available, how do we utilize that in workflow? And so the way that we learn about what's happening, you know, to inform the work that we're doing in Point of Care Partners is we have to get involved with the standards development organizations, as well as kind of stay on top of policy work that's happening. So I have, you know, I became a member of NCPDP, so the National Council of Prescription Drug Programs, which is the standards organization, right, for the pharmacy industry. So I got involved about 10 years ago, really more involved than I used to be. I used to attend the annual conferences and things like that. But when I joined Point of Care Partners about 10 years ago is really when I started to get involved in the task groups and the work groups that were actually creating the standards. And so, you know, there was a lot of work going on with biosimilars and with specialty medications. Through my work at NCPDP, I was involved with a stakeholder action group that around specialty meds. We were trying to figure out what was the pain point around specialty medications, which led to, you know, starting a work group and things like that. And as I started to continue at NCPDP and my work at Point of Care Partners, I ended up joining the strategic planning committee at NCPDP, which is really where a lot of the strategy work of, you know, what's really happening in industry, what can standards development organizations do to, you know, inform what's happening in industry. And that's really where a lot of my work between NCPDP and Point of Care Partners started to really come together. So things like moving value-based care forward, things like pharmacogenomics, you know, pharmacy interoperability, all that's being talked about both at the Standards Development Organization and the work that I do at Point of Care Partners.
Just talk about why standards are important. Like what role they play in the ecosystem and why they're important.
So I'll give an example of, there are two things, prior authorization and real-time benefit check. Those, I think, are two things that, you know, a lot of people can relate to. So prior authorization, a lot of times a doctor will prescribe a patient a medication and they need to get a prior authorization to get it approved from the insurance company. So that is a standard that has been developed, you know, by NCPDP that says, you know, we can, as opposed to having information being faxed back and forth between the doctor's office and the pharmacy. So, you know, let's kill the fax, right? Let's be able to send information electronically. So we have it today with a standard that, you know, you go to the doctor, they go to prescribe you a medication, you know, used to be handed a paper prescription, used to take that to the pharmacy, that now goes electronically. That is done because we have a standard in place that says, you know, we need to send certain information in a certain format to the pharmacy so they can receive that electronically. Prior authorization is the same thing. So there is data being sent back and forth between the provider office, the pharmacy, and the insurance company trying to get this approval electronically, and it's being done, right? So a standard, I would say, that lays the track and moves the data electronically back and forth between stakeholders. So we're not having to make phone calls, you know, do faxes and delay people getting their medications.
I always think about the VHS to DVD, to street, you know, that whole progression. Well, they had to decide that they were going to do a standard DVD or a standard VHS way back when, right? So that the machines all worked with the movies they were putting out.
Exactly. That's a great analogy.
What challenges do you see now in your perspective from these three roles that you're playing between Point of Care Partners, consulting, high tech, and NCPDP?
Just a little background on the high-tech task force and how it started. So ONC, Office of National Coordinator, is the group that is really in charge of, you know, the data standards, the, you know, figuring out which electronic data needs to be shared electronically. They also do certification of EHRs. So Their focus has been really on kind of the standards and the information flowing from the provider, so the clinical data and the EHR, as well as the health plan. So when we think about interoperability, a lot of what we focus on is that data sharing between the provider, the insurance plan, and the patient. And pharmacy, you know, we've had these data standards in place for 40 years now, I think, that NCPDP has been around. So, you know, we can send prescriptions electronically. We can have a pharmacy file a claim or submit a claim to get paid on the medication they dispense. But what we haven't been talking about is how do you bring the pharmacist into the care team? How do you make sure that they are able to support patients as well? So I think there was a real recognition during the pandemic of what the role that pharmacists can play in supporting public health crisis, in supporting patient care. You know, I do this when I get on panels. I always have people raise their hands of who all got their vaccinations at a pharmacy, right? And almost every single hand goes up. And it wasn't just that, but pharmacists were doing test to treat, right? You could get a COVID test and you could get a prescription for Paxlovid. But, you know, what people don't always recognize is a lot of times there are things that pharmacists can do, but they don't necessarily have the information to be able to do some of the work, you know, clinical work. So the HITECH committee, HITECH is a committee that informs ONC of the work that they should be focused on. They essentially have task groups that are set up to make recommendations to the Office of National Coordinator of what they should be focused on in future years. The pharmacy task force got started because there was, after the pandemic, this recognition that the pharmacists, we need to figure out how to make sure we support pharmacists in continuing on in what they were able to do during the pandemic, but also to support them as more of a care team. So we went through, I think it was 6 months, we ended up with 32 recommendations to ONC of things that ONC needs to be thinking about, but even more broadly, what HHS, so the Health and Human Services, needs to be thinking about, you know, reimbursement, you know, pulling in CDC of tracking immunizations, tracking things that maybe the pharmacists are seeing with patients that are coming in the door. So, you know, you asked about kind of what are the challenges and the barriers. I would say it is really getting people to recognize that, you know, pharmacists should be part of a care team. They need to be involved. And I think there was, like I said, this recognition that pharmacists played a big role in the public health crisis. We're starting to get, you know, in place now this national network, right, of organizations who will be able to share information nationwide. Why can't we bring pharmacists onto this? You know, there's networks out there, Care Quality, that are already doing this today. And what I think people don't recognize is, from a policy perspective, in some states, pharmacists are recognized as providers, so they can actually join a national network. And in some states, they're not. And so, you know, we're not saying that pharmacists are going to take away providers' jobs, but they can augment, right? We talk about staff shortages. We talk about provider shortages. I know you guys have a report out there, you know, that targets this and says, you know, there's a huge shortage out there. What can pharmacists do to augment, right? And to support rural areas is a great example. And so I think what people that are talking about this today is they don't recognize that, no, yes, pharmacists can join some of the national networks, but because of their status, they're not necessarily able to do that in every state. And so I think from a policy perspective, the discussion that needs to happen is, how do we think about making sure that pharmacists can access data? They don't need to access the entire patient record, because I know there's kind of this concern, right, about what information are they seeing, but get them the information they need in order to support that patient care. So I think from a policy perspective, that's probably number one.
SureScripts is a candidate QHIN as we speak. There's a technology component of this, which is, you know, as we sit here and think about, well, bringing the QHIN information into the pharmacy, assuming that they're allowed in their state, where does it go? Are the pharmacy technologies ready to accept it?
Yeah, that was a lot of what we talked about, the ONC HITECH task force, is, ONC currently does certification todays on EHRs. Pharmacy systems have not been part of that certification. So is that going to be a key component? You know, we, in my work through Point of Care Partners, we work with a lot of the QHINs, and the conversations we've been having is, you know, if the pharmacist is on a non-certified system, you know, how do we get that certified, right? And again, you don't have to certify maybe the entire pharmacy management system, but the pieces where you're sharing clinical data. So I think it's a matter of getting the information to the pharmacist, but then also how do they share information back? And I think it's got to be this two-way communication. And, you know, we talk a lot at Point of Care Partners about swiveling our seats. And what we mean by that is, you know, you're working in your system and then all of a sudden you have to switch over, right, and swivel your seat to a portal. And we know there's portals out there. We know that's going to happen. But how do we make it easier to get that information to the pharmacist within their workflow, right? And that is so important.
So to speak of primary care, you can have your technology set up, but if you're ultimately not paid to do the work, then it doesn't really make economic sense. So where do you see that coming in?
Yeah, to me, that's the biggest issue we have. And I honestly am stumped on how to solve this one. You know, through my work at NCPDP, because I'm on the board, I attend some of their advocacy tours. They go up to the Hill, right? And they educate, you know, lawmakers on standards and things like that. And we did one about 2 months ago, and I finally just started asking the folks that help NCPDP, I'm like, how do we get this issue of pharmacist reimbursement in front of people? I know there's been kind of a lot of work. And one thing that they gave me some insights, and, you know, I thought this was interesting, is they said, you know, if we could somehow get to the White House, right, and have the White House do some kind of, or the administrative branch do some kind of executive order, is that a way? Because, you know, I think we've tried through, you know, CMS, we've tried other ways. I know, you know, there are, I will say there are a lot of health plans, you know, payers who are reimbursing pharmacists, but they're pockets of it. We haven't been able to do this nationwide. So, you know, shout out to your listeners. If anyone knows of anyone at the White House, I mean, to me, if you could get an executive order or tag on to some other executive order, I think that's what gets people to move to start to do that regulation. So, you know, like I said, I'm a little bit of a loss, but that's the latest thinking in my head. So who knows, maybe one day.
What excites you most about this work right now?
You know, I think as we talked about, right, I've been in this industry for a long time. I feel really hopeful. I feel like there is a lot of people that are now saying, we recognize what pharmacists can do. We know that there's even beyond, I think there's new innovation coming in, digital therapeutics, right? Pharmacogenomics. So, you know, a lot of what we talk about is the ability for pharmacists to really understand that you're on these five meds, but two out of the five are not going to work because, you know, you've got this, you know, gene that's blocking it from working. I mean, that is just such a fascinating opportunity, right? A fascinating science behind it, but just a huge opportunity for pharmacists to improve outcomes. And I think they're like, I'm excited about seeing all of this kind of new stuff talked about, but then also really the focus that pharmacy interoperability is getting. I think there's this real recognition and real willingness, right, for industry participants to start to talk about this and figure out how we can solve this.
Well, in terms of another innovation, where does AI fit in all of this?
You know, interestingly enough, I just this morning got off a call with a group in California, and they are looking at, interestingly, psychotropic drugs in children. So these are drugs that are being prescribed in some cases for children. The problem is it's not being, you know, we talked about the standards and having codified data. The information on these drugs is actually getting put into the patient note versus being able to be prescribed electronically. So AI, you know, through NLM and through AI, they're combing through these records to find out when were these drugs prescribed and what was the actual outcome for the patient. in order to kind of support whether or not these drugs should be used, what were the outcomes. And so there's so many, that's just a practical one that I know they're looking to get some funding to kind of make that project scale, right, and be able to do that. But I think just another example is a patient's on 6 or 7 meds. Use AI to be able to look at that and say, are these the right meds for this diagnosis and the set of diagnosis that this patient has? There's so much that we can be doing for simple things. Prior authorization is another one where we could, really be utilizing AI in order to reduce burden on the provider, on the pharmacist. So a lot of applications. I think there's a lot of discussion now. I think there's definitely a lot of opportunity. It's just where do you start and where do you start bringing that in?
Pooja, and this season we're asking our guests how they think we can best help healthcare heal itself. And by that, what I mean is that we believe at SureScripts that healthcare is a big industry. Incredible expertise around the industry, and that industry has the knowledge and tools that we need to fix some of our problems. The first thing is to identify where we have problems. So first, where is healthcare hurting? What's your diagnosis for what's wrong with it?
Yeah, so I think there's two things wrong with healthcare. One is I don't think we've leveraged pharmacists enough. I think we talked a lot about that in this podcast. We really need to recognize that pharmacists can do so much more than just putting pills in the bottle. They're clearly trained to do that. We need to utilize them at the top of their license, and we need to reimburse them for that. I think the other thing that's wrong with healthcare to me is so long we've had data in silos. And now because of regulation that's in place, the data is more free, but how do we make sure we leverage that data to improve patient care? And to me, this includes sharing this data outside of, just the provider, right? Bring the pharmacist in and other people who can support that patient care. So it's making sure that now that we've got all this data available to us, how do we utilize that in a way that's going to improve patient care? So I think those to me are the two things that I see that are wrong in healthcare today.
How would you heal healthcare?
Yeah, so I think I would do two things. I'd write two prescriptions, is a good way to say it. One for expanding the role of the pharmacist and the care team and actually reimbursing them for this. And second, I would say getting pharmacists the data they need to support patient care, right? That should be, the two prescriptions that I would write in order to help us move forward on these two challenges.
Well, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Melanie. And I know you and I, chat a lot about this. So it's great to see, other kind of champions, right, for all of this work in the industry. And like I said, I'm really hopeful and really excited about this next decade in pharmacy and, what we can do and what we can help pharmacists do.
Great. We're looking forward to it. When it comes to helping healthcare heal itself, the right policy, the right technology, and the right standards are crucial. As we heard from Pooja on today's episode, the right policy could enable pharmacists to join the National Network for Interoperability set up by TEFCA and QHINS. And this means that pharmacists could get access to the data they need as part of the care team. The right technology could get this data to the pharmacy workflow in a way that supports both prescribers and pharmacists, and of course, the patients they care for. And lastly, the right standards and codified data are the means to making this all happen in a way that continues to safeguard patient privacy and safety. So, how do we help healthcare heal itself? What is Pooja's prescription for the challenges we're facing in healthcare? Her prescription starts with the recognition that pharmacists can do so much more than put pills in a bottle. not by usurping the care that doctors provide, but by expanding their role in a way that's aligned with their professional expertise. And of course, by getting pharmacists the data they need to support patient care as part of the collaborative care team. A sincere thank you to Pooja for sharing her time today and her perspective with us on the show. And thank you, our listeners, for spending your time with us today. Thank you for listening in today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please rate, subscribe, and review. There's a better way. Smart Talk on healthcare and technology. With your help, we'll be able to continue to bring great conversations to the fore and to the wider listening public. Thank you.